You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Bird flu, swine flu, canine influenza makes you almost want to pull the covers over your head and not venture outside. Well, have no fear. You can't catch canine influenza from your pooch. Your canine companion, however, should be cautious about who it smooches at the dog park or meets a doggy daycare. Canine influenza is a real and potentially serious condition. My guest today is Dr. Holly Brienzo. She's going to tell us about canine influenza and a newly released vaccine to help safeguard your precious pup. We'll be right back after these few messages.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step by step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
Having a rough day? Longing for the dog days of summer? Think your fun furry friend lives a dog's life? Well, find out everything you're begging to know as Pet Life Radio presents It's a Doggy Dog World with pet expert and award-winning author Liz Palaika. Every dog has his day, and you'll find out how to make your dog's day fun and rewarding every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Brienzo, thank you for being with us today. Number one, what is canine influenza? Is this something brand new?
Thanks, Bernadine, for having me today. Yes, dog flu or canine influenza is a new emerging disease. It's a contagious respiratory disease in dogs caused by a specific type A influenza virus. This is a disease of dogs, not of humans. The canine influenza virus is an influenza A H3N8 influenza virus, not a human influenza virus, that was originally an equine influenza virus in horses. And this virus has spread to dogs and can now spread between dogs.
Now, this is only going to be a dog problem. So you have cats living in the home. A dog loves its kitty and kisses its kitty all over. Not a problem there.
Exactly. It's not a problem. It's not going to spread to the cat.
Now, how about if a person has horses? Since you said this came from horses originally, is there any chance that your dog is going to give this disease to your horse?
That has not been confirmed. It's believed that the virus will not spread from the dog to the horse. The original, it's still a theory out there that the original emergence of canine influenza from equine influenza involved contact between horses and dogs, but it also may have involved dogs eating horse meat. The greyhounds are typically fed horse meat at the tracks. So that it's really unknown at this point whether the virus was able to skip from the horse to the dog from an aerosol transmission from contact, or if dogs actually ingested the virus by eating horse meat. But at this point, it has not been confirmed that the dog can spread it back to the horse.
Viruses are such amazing things. I always tell people, you know, what probably is going to do in the human race one of these days is going to be viruses. And it sounds like viruses, are they truly affecting all species of animals, or it just seems to be those, the mammals and birds? Of course, we know the birds get it.
Right. The influenza viruses in particular, they're very species specific, and yes, they do affect a number of animals. Swine flu, which is, you know, very similar to an influenza virus that has infected pigs, is now infecting humans. So there are many, many mammals and birds that are infected with influenza viruses. But this one, again, is very specific to dogs and has not been confirmed in any other species.
Good to know. Now, what are the symptoms of flu? We know for ourselves, you may run a fever, you kind of have achy, maybe sneezing. What would I see in a dog, for instance?
Well, just as you've described, the symptoms are going to be very similar, actually, to your typical kennel cough syndrome. And kennel cough represents a number of different pathogens, including Bordetella, distemper, adenovirus, parainfluenza, and a number of different pathogens that can cause a syndrome. And it's actually been renamed as canine infectious respiratory disease complex. And like canine influenza, with this canine infectious respiratory disease complex, you will see coughing, runny nose, fever, lethargy, inappetence, decreased energy level. They're just not feeling well. But with canine influenza, the difficult thing is that the disease can actually progress to be much more serious. And in a small number of dogs, you can actually develop a very severe hemorrhagic pneumonia that can be life-threatening and even fatal.
So hemorrhagic meaning bleeding. So you would see your dog coughing up blood or sneezing up blood?
Possibly, yes. And that would be, you know, further on. Your dog would already be coughing, runny nose, fever, lethargic, and it would just progress and get worse and worse. They might have a difficult time breathing. They can get lung consolidation. And yes, you might see some coughing up of blood if it does progress to that very severe hemorrhagic pneumonia.
So I have a dog, and I take my dog to doggy daycare. And maybe there's another dog who's maybe just sneezing a little bit. And it's kind of like sending children to preschool. Oh, you're not that sick, honey. You know, just go to preschool now. How long after being exposed to canine influenza is your pet going to start looking ill?
Well, that's a good question, because many times, in about 20% of the cases, your dog may be exposed and infected with canine influenza, but actually never show clinical signs of being ill. So that means that your dog is actually a silent carrier and can be spreading that disease on to other dogs. Generally, most dogs would start showing clinical signs within 7 days. But the difficult thing with this disease is that very often they are no longer shedding the virus by the time they're showing clinical signs. So that can make testing for this virus very difficult because you've got a sick dog, but you can't isolate the virus because they're no longer shedding it.
Now that sounds really scary because you're trying to be the good doggy parent, for instance, and you don't want to send your dog to boarding facility or to daycare or go to the dog park or even walk around the neighborhood, for instance, if you have a sick dog, but you don't even know that it's sick. You're saying that it can be a pretty serious problem. So is it spread just nose to nose, or how is it spread?
It can be spread by direct contact, as you mentioned, nose to nose, respiratory secretions from infected dogs. It also can be spread through the air with a cough or a sneeze. But the real scary part is that it can also be spread by contact with contaminated objects, such as dog bowls, clothing, or even people moving between infected and uninfected dogs. So, you know, if you're a dog owner and you have a coughing dog or a dog that's showing any clinical signs of respiratory disease, you really don't want your dog to participate in any activities or bring your dog to facilities where other dogs can be exposed to the virus. And just keep in mind that, you know, a lot of times this disease will spread, you know, in situations where, you know, maybe at a shelter, somebody is tending to a dog that's sick, they go and they get the virus onto their clothes, they go see a healthy dog, and that's actually how the virus is spread to the healthy dog. It can spread very quickly, very aggressively, so it's really important to clean very well. Hands should be washed, and everything that can be should be disinfected after exposure to dogs showing clinical signs.
And then again, we have to worry, they're not always clinical signs, so maybe mom was right, you know, wash your hands when you finish playing with the dog before especially you play with another one.
Exactly.
Now, is some viruses I know are very hardy. They're very difficult to kill. Is this canine influenza virus a hardy one, or what are some ways that you can try to destroy it?
The virus actually is not very hardy, which is a good thing. You can kill it very easily with any disinfectant. Even using Dawn dish soap is a great way to disinfect a kennel or in any possibly infected area. The key to remember, though, is that you really don't want to use any type of pressurized or aerosolized cleaning technique. So if you're cleaning out a shelter or cleaning out a kennel, you don't want to put your thumb over the hose and spray it through the air, because that can spread that virus around. You really want to do what's called passive cleaning. Get a bucket of water and a scrub brush and clean the areas completely. You can use any type of disinfectant, as I mentioned, even dish soap. That will kill the virus. Just make sure you do a very passive, thorough cleaning.
Now, that sounds wonderful, but I know at my hospital, we have boarding facilities, and with the number of kennels that we have, to go through and scrub them all by hand would be very difficult. So I can see that this can be a disease that's going to be hard to control. Now, you had mentioned there's a test, and sometimes this looks like kennel cough. How do I know, is this kennel cough or is this canine influenza? What's the test?
Yeah, that can be a little bit tricky. There are two tests that can be done. And the first test would involve virus isolation. And that would involve, if you've got a clinically ill dog showing clinical signs of coughing, respiratory disease, you would take a nasal swab and the veterinarian would submit that to a diagnostic lab for virus isolation. It can take a couple of weeks for the virus to be isolated. So usually by that time, if they have the mild form of the disease, you know, you've really gotten through the worst part of it, and it's sort of just, you know, now you have the diagnosis, but you've already treated the dog. The other test you can do would involve serology, where you're actually measuring titers or antibody levels in the blood, and you can get a blood sample taken at the time that the dog is sick and then do a repeat sample about 3 to 4 weeks later, and we look for an increase, a fourfold increase in the antibody level, and that would be supportive of a recent canine influenza infection.
But how does that help me if I have a doggy daycare and I want to take my dog there? If I remember correctly what you're saying, sometimes when you're starting to see the clinical signs, we're no longer shedding, so you can have the titer. So how does that help save other dogs from being exposed? Sounds kind of like a catch-22. This is a tough one.
Yes, it is. And I think it's really more for surveillance to find out if canine influenza has been in a specific kennel or a specific shelter. You can, you know, do serology and see if infection has spread. If you've got an individual dog that's ill, it doesn't really do you that much good to test for the disease unless, you know, it doesn't really change the course of treatment. It basically tells you that, you know, you've got canine influenza and you may be dealing with a very serious situation if it happens to develop into the hemorrhagic pneumonia. A typical kennel cough, you know, caused by Bordetella, which is a bacteria, will respond to antibiotics. And that's one of the hallmark clues that if you've got a coughing dog that's not improving after antibiotics, which is the typical course, most veterinarians will just put your dog on antibiotics when they're coughing. If they're not improving, then I would think about canine influenza and get the dog tested just to confirm to see if it's in the area.
So for ourselves, we come down with the flu, and now there's Tamiflu and some of these other products that are available for treating. But most of the time, if we come down with the flu, it's like, take it easy, drink lots of fluids, stay home, don't spread it, wash your hands a lot. What do we do for the dog? So, okay, you mentioned we can do antibiotics. The veterinarian would prescribe it if we think that it's kennel cough. But what else can a pet owner do, or what can a veterinarian do? Because this is a pretty new disease that's now on the horizon.
Yeah, and it's really supportive care is all that we can do. This is a virus, and you know there aren't medications we can really use. Tamiflu has not shown to really improve the clinical signs or decrease the course of illness in dogs, so it's really not recommended this time. Antibiotics are certainly recommended for any secondary bacterial infections. Supportive therapy, IV fluids, rest, you know, basically just letting the dog rest, hydrate him, and give any antibiotics as necessary. There's not a lot we can do to treat, unfortunately, and that's one of the very frustrating parts of this disease.
Sounds like you and I with the flu. We're talking right now with Dr. Brian, so she's telling us about the canine influenza virus and a new vaccine. We'll talk about that right when we come back from this break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Give your dog some thought with Dog Thoughts. It's the iPhone application that everyone's talking about.
Hey, what do you think of this? A man in Davis, California says he's invented an application for the iPhone that claims it can read your dog's mind. Huh? No, it's true. I read about it on my cat's Twitter page. That's why.
Jay Leno talked about it, CBS reported on it, and now you can see what all the buzz is about. Created just for dog lovers, Dog Thoughts makes taking photos of your furry best friend more fun. Shake your dog and read his mind. On your iPhone, of course. Take a pic of your pup, shake your phone, and watch as his thoughts appear on the screen. Does he have a bone to pick with you, or is he having a tail-wagging day? Get your Dog Thoughts iPhone app today. Just 99 cents. Go to PetLifeRadioPromotions.com. That's PetLifeRadioPromotions.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Oh Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. Oh Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Brianzo, this sounds like a pretty scary problem that's out there, this new virus. Is this a new virus? Or when I went to veterinary school, I never heard about this.
It is a new virus. It actually has just recently been diagnosed here in the U.S. over the past few years, and has just recently received a lot of attention from especially Dr. Cinda Crawford down in Florida, who is very much involved in the racing greyhounds, who have really been hit hard with this virus, and many have died from this very severe hemorrhagic pneumonia.
Is that the common thing that we could find, or are most dogs going to have maybe a little bit of a sniffle, might be a little bit off, but basically okay?
Yeah, about 80% of dogs will have a mild form of disease, your typical coughing, runny nose, lethargy, decreased appetite, and about 20% may go on to develop, you know, the real severe clinical signs of the disease. The estimated rate of fatality has been estimated to be about 5 to 8% of those that go on to develop the severe form of pneumonia will actually go on to die.
And for the listeners who maybe forgot, is this a concern for humans? So maybe I'm a person that's immune suppressed. I'm on chemotherapy, whatever. Do I have to worry about, I have a sneezing dog, maybe this is canine influenza, am I going to get it?
It has not been confirmed in humans, and it's really a disease of dogs, not humans. The specific type of influenza virus, it's an influenza A H3N8 influenza virus, which is not classified as a human influenza virus. Influenza viruses do mutate and change, so it's hard to say what will happen in the future. But as of now, this disease has not been reported in humans.
So I want to safeguard my dog and not take the chance of getting this virus. You'd mentioned the vaccine. Tell us a little bit about that vaccine.
Sure. The vaccine is canine influenza. It's an inactivated vaccine manufactured by Intervet Sharing Plow. And it's recommended to be given subcutaneously. We give two initial doses at about 2 to 4 weeks apart initially, and then the dog is vaccinated on an annual basis.
I always tell my clients that no vaccine's 100%. What is the efficacy of this particular vaccine, and how safe is it?
Well, you know, right now we have a conditional license by the USDA that was granted to us May 27th of this year. And to get a conditional license, we had to submit a substantial amount of data to support both the safety and efficacy of this vaccine. So while, you know, we can't say that any vaccine is 100% efficacious and 100% of the dogs, you know, we can say that the data that we have submitted to the USDA convince them that this vaccine is extremely efficacious at decreasing the severity of illness and significantly decreasing the shedding of the virus. We also did a safety study that involved over 700 dogs around the U.S., and the dogs in the study were privately owned. They were ranging in age between 6 weeks to 10 years. They were 30 different breeds involved. And in that safety study, there was not one single reaction in the over 1,400 doses that were administered.
That sounds like it's a very safe vaccine, so that makes you feel much better. You'd mentioned all these various breeds. Do some breeds seem to be more susceptible to the virus than others?
There really is no predisposition from one breed to the next. It's not breed specific. Dogs of any breed, age, or vaccination status are susceptible to infection because of the lack of pre-existing immunity. So because most dogs out there are naive to this virus, they don't have antibodies on board, they are very much at risk for contracting the disease if they come in contact with an infected dog. So any dog that's at risk for canine infectious respiratory disease complex, or what we used to just term as kennel cough, is at risk for CIV. So this would include dogs that board, go to dog parks, doggy daycares, pet stores, etc. Any place where they're housed or congregated in enclosed areas are going to be at greater risk.
Now, Dr. Breen, so you'd mentioned that some of this initial outbreak and research was done in Florida. Is the canine influenza virus a national concern, or is it really very localized?
It is national. It has occurred in over 30 states throughout the U.S. Some of the more endemic states have included Florida, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Colorado, California, Delaware, and the District of Columbia.
And do they have any reason to believe why those particular states seem to be more impacted than another?
Well, I think that's just where we're getting the reports from at this point. And I think that soon, as we start doing more testing, we'll see that it's really widespread fairly evenly across the U.S. You know, people haven't been testing for this very aggressively because it is a new emerging disease. People have, you know, seen these outbreaks of respiratory disease in shelters, in clinics, and probably treated a lot of them as Bordetella or kennel cough. But now that there's more awareness about canine influenza, I think people are going to start testing more aggressively, and we'll start to see that this really is a national thing.
I know with people, they say, okay, we're going into the flu season, and it's time to get your vaccines. We know, again, no vaccine's 100% effective, and I always get my flu vaccine and hoping that if I get the flu, it's going to be less severe, doesn't last as long, and, you know, I don't have any of the nasty side effects like pneumonia that sometimes people can get with flus. Is there a flu season for dogs?
Interestingly, there's not. So unlike the human flu, canine influenza virus is not seasonal, and dogs are really vulnerable year-round.
So here's your poor little pup who's minding his own business and going to the dog park and having a good time and kind of swapping some saliva with that other dog using the water bowl, whatever. So your dog can be at risk constantly.
Yes. Yes, it can.
If I have a dog and I want to get it vaccinated, how easily accessible is this vaccine right now? You're saying that it's new and it's a conditionally licensed vaccine.
Correct. And a lot of people have questions about what it means to be conditionally licensed. But basically, a conditional license means that the vaccine manufacturer cannot use a brand name in the commercialization of the product. And the first vaccine commercialized for an emerging disease is given a conditional license by the USDA. And as with all USDA conditionally licensed products, data submitted to the USDA supports a reasonable expectation of efficacy and safety. In the past, the USDA, through the Center of Veterinary Biologics, the CVB, has typically issued conditional licenses to meet an emergency situation, limited market, local situation, or other special circumstances. So the fact that it's a conditional license should not deter people from using or getting their dogs vaccinated. It's just sort of the interim step before we can get full approval because it is such a new emerging disease. But we do have a substantial amount of data to support efficacy and safety, and any veterinarian, any licensed veterinarian, can obtain this product through their distributor.
Well, we've been talking right now with Dr. Branso from InterVet and Sharon Plow. She's been telling us about canine influenza. Sounds like this is a national concern. This is a virus that can be potentially quite serious. So whether or not your pet should be vaccinated is really going to be on a case-by-case situation. Always the best person to ask about concerns you have for your pet's health is going to be your primary care veterinarian. If they have any questions, I'm sure Dr. Branso, the local veterinarians, can call you. Is that correct?
Yes, definitely call us. We'd be happy to answer any questions.
And if a pet owner had any more questions, is there an internet site that they can go to?
There is, yes. Our internet site is www.doginfluenza.com.
And this sounds like it's a great place for people to go if they have questions instead of just searching the internet, never knowing exactly what you're going to come up with.
Exactly, yes. There's a wealth of information there for pet owners or veterinarians.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. We've been chatting today with Dr. Holly Branso from InterVet and Shearing Plow. She's given us some great information on how to keep our pets healthy. So whenever you have questions about your pet and the best thing to do for your pet's health, best person, again, is talking to your primary care veterinarian. If you have questions, you want a second opinion, you can always contact me, Dr. Bernadine Cruz, at the pet doctor at PetLifeRadio.com. I'll answer it and get back on to you. So thank you very much for listening today. We'll be back again next week with more information on how to keep your pets healthy and happy and keep you the best pet owner that you can be. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.